Well, hello again, and I'm bringing you another message from the Acts of the Apostles, and following on from previous weeks, I'm now on chapter 10. But this week, out of interest, I'm using the revised version, because just some things in it are a little bit clearer to understand. So, we finished last time with Peter seeing two incredible miracles in Lydda, and then it changes. And because after those miracles, we turn in chapter 10 to something quite different. It starts off by saying at Caesarea, and of course Caesarea, I know it so well because that's where we held the big evangelism in the Roman amphitheater. And that's the first time in 2,000 years that anything like that had happened. And in the first verse it says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius. This man was a centurion in the Roman army, but the interesting thing is that he was a centurion in a particular group called the Italian Regiment. Now, it's quite interesting because the only time we get someone clearly identified like this, you'll see why shortly. And in verse 2, it says that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Now, they're not Jewish. And so it's quite interesting that they had a knowledge of God. So, in other words, our God, the Creator, our Heavenly Father, was known to others other than Jews. It's the first time that really this becomes clear. You'll see why as we go on. In fact, this 10th chapter, it's only as I'm really studying it, I see how it is actually very significant in the differences that come out. All right. So Cornelius, he's centurion in the Roman army. He's in a particular group. And he and all his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Verse 3, one day at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him, called him by name, and Cornelius looked at this angel in fear and said, "What do you want, Lord?" And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who's called Peter. He will be staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." Now, when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius immediately responded and called two of his servants and one of the soldiers, who he knew was a devout man and was a regular attendant on him, and he told them exactly what had happened and sent them to Joppa. So they knew that this was a call from God, that an angel had come, and the command was to fetch Peter. Now, by the time we get to verse 9, as the next day they were on their journey, at about midday, before they got to Joppa, they were on the way, they're traveling. At midday, Peter himself went up on the roof to pray. While he was there, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. In that trance, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. This sheet contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat. He's hungry. He's hungry." Oof, verse 14. Peter was very quick to respond, "Surely, Lord, I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." As a Jew, he obeyed the strict Jewish laws. Already he's now a believer in Jesus. He's serving Jesus, but he still is keeping his Jewish laws. So in verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time and said, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So in verse 17, while Paul was wondering what this vision meant, by now the men sent by Cornelius had found Simon's house, Simon the tanner, and stopped at the gate. And they were calling out, asking if Simon, known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" And the men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to come to your house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house as his guests. The next day, this is after this has happened, the next day, so they'd had the rest of that day. Remember that it was at midday that Peter had the vision. So the rest of the day, he was with these three men explaining what had happened. And the next day, Peter started out with them and some of the other brothers from Joppa who went along. And then in verse 24, it says that the following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and called together his relatives and friends. And as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet in an act of worship. But verse 26 says, Peter told him to get up and said, "Stand up, I'm only a man myself, don't worship me." So in verse 27, we see, talking with him, Peter went into the house and found that Cornelius had gathered a lot of people together. Now, verse 28 begins to show you why this is happening. Because in verse 28 says that Peter said to this group, "You are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him." So it's absolutely clear that this gathering, Caesarea, organized by Cornelius the centurion, and where he Cornelius had gathered together a group of his friends who were not Jews. And Peter is saying so clearly, it's against the Jewish law for me to associate with you because you're not Jews. And in fact, it's so strict, it says it's against the law to associate with Gentiles or even visit with them. But then he goes on to say, but God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Why did you send for me? Now, this is quite interesting because the reason that God has spoken to Peter in this way is this is why God had given him that vision of the unclean animals. And when Peter says, it's against the law, I can't eat them, the Lord says, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. So in other words, here, this is Peter's call to the Gentiles. It's very interesting because that vision of the unclean animals was a clear indication that Peter must speak to the Gentiles. And that's why it says in verse 29, he came without raising any objection. And then he asks the obvious question, why have you sent for me? Verse 30 is clear. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 in the afternoon, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer, and remember your gifts to the poor, sent a Joppa for Simon called Peter, told him where he was, in Simon's house by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. This is the first time we actually see the breakthrough where the gospel is now going to the Gentiles. It's absolutely clear that this gospel was not just for the Jews, but it was for all men. Remember, and I'm very conscious of this, that when Jesus was alive, in actual fact, the Jewish people rejected him. I mean, the scripture says he came to his own and his own received him not. And so now this is being actually put into practice that God is really commanding Peter, look, you've got to go outside the Jewish faith. You've got to reach all people. And in verse 34, Peter began to speak. And he says, I realize how true it is God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And then in verse 36, he says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened to him throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism of John in the Jordan, how God anointed this Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. So this was a Jew going to the Jews. And in verse 39, we're witnesses. And you know, this is the powerful thing, because such an important thing about testimony is he's saying here, we are witnesses of everything that Jesus did in amongst the Jews and in Jerusalem. But the result was the Jews rejected him. And I mean, he's going on in verse 39. He says they rejected him, they killed him, hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and enabled him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. Particularly, and Peter is saying, by those of us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So this is setting the scene for the gospel now to reach the whole world. It's not just restricted to the Jews. And as you know, the Orthodox Jews do not accept Jesus to this day. They still reject him. They are still waiting for the Messiah. They don't believe the Messiah's come. And the Orthodox Jews don't even accept the legitimacy of the Jewish state. And they say it's a secular state. It's not a religious state. And they say that the nation will not be gathered together until Jesus does it. But no, we believe, as Bible-believing Christians, we believe that Israel is the Israel of the Old Testament, and that the gathering together in the Holy Land, I want to use that word rather than the word Palestine, in the Holy Land, is a fulfillment of every prophecy. God prophesied they would come back. This is the fig tree bringing forth its leaves, and that's Israel back in Jerusalem, which, you know, only came about simply in that terrible battle in 19 when they were fighting the battle for independence at the end of the Second World War in the 1940s. This was the interesting thing. And it was only 1947 that Israel was finally declared as a state. Yet, and here there's something we're proud of in Britain, is the fact that it was in 1917 when Jerusalem at the time was occupied by the Turks, that it was the British in the First World War that drove the Turks out of Jerusalem and actually established a nation and a rulership and appointed part of the land for Israel. So what you can see here is, coming back to just verses 39 and 40, Peter and the other disciples were the witnesses of the miracle that Jesus was the fulfillment of Scripture. He was the Messiah, that God anointed Jesus, confirmed by the miracles, that when he was put to death on that cross, Jesus raised him from the dead by the miracle, and that miracle of the resurrection was seen by many hundreds of people, especially by these 11 disciples, because Judas had betrayed him, by the 11 whom he fed on the shores of Galilee. And in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And that is irrespective of nationality, whether you're Jew or Gentile. All of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And all the records are read out, but only those of us, as the scripture says, whose names are written in the book of life, who have personally accepted Jesus Christ, we're the only ones who live in eternity in the kingdom of God. So here, Peter is such a clear witness. But you know, the thing that touches me, so am I a witness. So are you. You should be a witness. I believe I'm talking to mostly people who are believers, but if you are a believer, you are just like Peter and John and Paul and the others. You are witnesses of the power of Christ. You have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, which he shed on the cross. You have experienced conversion. And it's whether you were Jew or Gentile. This is the whole point of this message. Whether you're Jew or Gentile makes no difference. We all have to come under Christ and recognize Christ as the Messiah. And the word Christ means Messiah. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the coming King. So Peter is very, very strong in this. And he goes on, and if you look, he says, he's witnessed, verse 41, he was not seen by everybody, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. And I want to think that God has chosen you and me as his witnesses. Come on. We were chosen, just like those 12 disciples, we were chosen as witnesses. And we witnessed, and in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and commanded to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed. And here, Peter is for the first time talking about judgment. Now, this is something coming in for the first time. God has appointed Jesus as judge for over the world. And in verse 43, all the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. It is not a Jewish religion. It's not. This is not restricted or limited to any nation or color or whatever. This is to the world. The prophets, verse 43, the Bible is clear. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Wow. Then we come to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message, and the circumcised believers who'd come with Peter, that means Jewish, circumcised Jews, the Jewish people were astonished that for the first time the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And Peter says, can anybody keep these people from being baptized with water? They've received the Holy Spirit as we have, so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. So here it's absolutely clear that these Gentiles now, for the first time, are receiving the Holy Spirit that until now had only been given to the Jewish people. This is quite a dramatic chapter, and on this is based the gospel that we preach to the whole world. I can go anywhere in the world and I can preach Christ and forgiveness of sin. And one thing that has really stirred me through all my life, but it's another story, is that we would see the Holy Spirit poured out on all nations, and that God has confirmed, because everywhere I go, people repent, people are healed, and people receive the Holy Spirit. So Peter ordered that these people are baptized in the name of Jesus. Then, of course, they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days while he taught them. So here we see very clearly in this chapter is the moment in which God confirms that the gospel has to go further than the Jews, and the gospel has to go to all nations. Because in that vision, and the two visions, firstly to Cornelius to send for Peter, and then Peter is prepared and has the vision of that sheet let down with the unclean animals, and God says quite clearly, whom I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. And by the way, some who try to say to me that Christians shouldn't eat meat, I'm sorry. God commanded Peter to kill the animals and eat them. So you're not commanded to be a vegetarian. But anyway, God bless you, and we'll continue this next week.
My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise! When you are committed to and support the gospel, then stand on this promise that when you give to the extension of the kingdom, God will supply all your need. Jesus called it giving and receiving. This year God has given us wonderful opportunities to preach the gospel in Armenia, Georgia, and Poland. And we continue to support Ukraine by distributing humanitarian and spiritual aid. For 12 months, our staff have helped the displaced, vulnerable, and injured, supplying food and medicines. To make a donation, visit eurovision.org.uk/donation. Strength for now and for eternity. David will guide you through the Apostle Paul's letters to the Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. David has written this book to strengthen your faith at a time when everything around us is being shaken. Join David as he delves deep into the truths of the Bible. Order David's book, A Firm Foundation, by visiting our website, eurovision.org.uk/shop. We would like to give you a free gift. David Hathaway's Prophetic Vision magazine is available free of charge. All you need to do is ask for it. This faith-building resource will show you the path to revival in your life and ministry. To receive this free magazine, visit eurovision.org.uk/magazine.